Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of taking on Parshios Baharim B'chukosai, the Parshios of Chazak, and of course, the Eibishter knows all too well that we could use a little bit of chizuk in our lives, especially after the terrible tragedies of the last week. Hashem Yirachim Aleinu V'yishlach Nechamas Tzion B'mheiro V'yameinu. We begin by noting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu began this week's Sedra is by speaking to Moshe Bahar Sinai, and Rashi famously asks the question, what the reason is for noting the location of the teaching of the mitzvah of Shemitah when it's near Har Sinai? What's the big deal? So Rashi explains that it's coming to teach us the details of all mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai. But why teach that now with the message of Shemitah? So Rabbi Yosef HaSalan, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that Maimed Har Sinai gave Bnei Yisrael the power to overcome their physical desires for Hashem's sake. Maimed Har Sinai says we had to take care of all these different personal needs and put them on the side in order to prepare ourselves to elevate. And of course, Shemitah demonstrates the same thing. We put our needs, our personal needs on the side to take care of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desires for us. That's what a Yid's all about. That's what being Jewish is all about. It's about the understanding that the ultimate goal in life is to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us. And of course, we're told when a person sells himself, Acharei Nimkar Geulo Tia Lo. After he was sold, he should have his redemption. So Rav Obi Zatzal notes that Rivka needed to own the two goats that she gave Yaakov Avinu to bring to Yitzchak. And the reason why, said Rav Obi, he said, one can't violate Torah law for the benefit of a good outcome. And Rav Obi added that the same thing can be found in our parasha too. A Jew who sells himself as a slave to a non-Jew runs the risk of shmad. Right? That's true. He's going to lose himself, he's going to lose all future generations that were destined to come from him because he's living among the Goyim, but still we're supposed to pay the ransom. We can't just go and bust in and save him by taking our force. And why not? Says Rav Obi, despite the fact that the slavery that the slavery leads to a spiritual life and death question, we can't use force or deceit to obtain a desired result. That's not an acceptable way for us to prepare, and it's not an acceptable way for us to carry ourselves. In addition, we're told, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim avodayhem, when it comes to the sale of a person, we're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'nei Yisrael are my servants, they are mine. And the Rachaim HaKadosh asks, why we repeat the idea of being li avodim avodayhem? And the Rachaim explains that we're bound twice to Hashem. First, we're tied to Him from birth for giving us life. And then again, when He took us out of Mitzrayim, we're tied to Him even further. So Reb Zadel Epstein Zatzal noted that we usually interpret the Eved concept to mean that we need to work for and listen to somebody else. That's what Avdus is. We work for and listen to somebody else. But Avdus doesn't mean that, said Reb Zadel. Reb Zadel says that Avdus means the subjugation of a whole personality to another person. For he never had his own awareness of anything but the subjugation. That's a more complete process. If you're born a slave, you stay a slave. That person doesn't know anything else. There's nothing beyond slavery. That's what you know your whole life. And that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to understand about Libanei Yisrael Avodim Avodayim. You're my Avodim on a personal and a communal level. You've never known anything else. So don't come to know anything else by selling yourselves or putting yourselves into a situation where you'll come to be subjugated to somebody else. We're finally told in the last pasuk of the first parsha, "Eshab sosai tishmoru mikdashi tiro ani Hashem," that we're supposed to have fear Hashem's mikdash, and the purpose of both the mikdash and our shuls is for us to set aside a place to meet the Shekhinah. The mikdash is Hashem's house where we visit Him. The shul is our home where HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets us collectively. Maureen O'Hara of Shechter Shalita would often note that this distinction, when highlighting why, when determining activities that are permitted in a shul, they're often based around how they would be or not be permitted in a person's home. So, for instance, the idea of a spittoon, something today we don't really have, but in the olden days, in the early days of KJ, this was something that certainly existed in the olden days, but for a person to spit in the Beis HaMikdash would be totally not allowed. So why is there such a distinction? So the Chafetz Chaim in Shaar HaTzion, in Siman Kuf, Nun Aleph, Sifkat and Tezvav, he brings down this idea that there's a difference between the Mikdash, that's Hashem's place, and the shuls, which are somewhat of our collective place. There is a third type of place that exists, which we've discussed on other occasions, and that is the idea of a bamas yachid. That's not even our place, that's one person's place. Kadosh Baruch Hu will go over there. But once there's an opportunity for a communal place, for a person to build his own bama, I think that's a terrible situation. I think it's a danger. There is a zman iser bamos. And it's the majority. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to be. And so therefore, when we're considering the situations that we're in, sometimes we think to ourselves, I'll just go to so-and-so's private place. This is not the same level as a person who goes Bitzibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right before he goes into the Tochacha, he promises, Vashbor motosulchem, I broke the shackles of your yoke. In the standard translation of the word komimiyut is that I took you walking upright. So the late great Rav Shaul Yisraeli noted that this isn't just a measure of height, but rather komimiyut is a double comb, a coma. It refers to the physical story and the spiritual one. We're charged with the dual responsibility to maintain the double structure of growth. He added, Rav Shaul Zatzal, that we find that in Eretz Yisrael we found the breaking of the shackles in 1948. But it was in 1967, with the gift that is Yerushalayim, with its duality of physical and spiritual stature, that we were gifted the dual gift. And we need to appreciate the spiritual connection together with the physical one. It shocks the mind how one could possibly dare not appreciate the gift of Yerushalayim. It also shocks the mind how many of us are willing to sell it away and machavek for the government that turned around and recognized it. And to say this was not a significant issue, I think Kfuye Tov have a lot to answer, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind all the things that happen in our lives for a reason. We're told, the land will rest for its Shemitahs all the days. That's the point of the Tochacha, to give us the Shemitahs that we missed. I thought it was something else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Tochacha because we didn't deserve the brachas. So what's this connection to the Shemitah? So Rav Yaakov Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explained that often people use excuses for why they can't do something. And our favorite excuse, we're too busy. When we're given a Shemitah to have the time to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we do not, so we receive the Tochacha. The Shemitah is the sign of who we are and why and what we choose. So Rav Yaakov added that there are two major differences between money and time. Time, which is something we never have enough of, which is us tirtzaharet, something is also something that cannot be gathered or saved, and it's not something that you can ask someone else how much of it you have. People don't have enough of it, whatever it is about time. Money's different. They can tell you how much money they have. Time, no one can say how much time they have. And so thus, it's critical that we use what we have to our advantage when we have it. If not, Chalila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the extra time. But the extra time is not going to be the way we want it. We could use that in our lives to pay attention to who we are and where we're headed. Finally, at the end of the parasha, we're given the opportunity to learn about Masar Behema. And we're told, Ha'asiriya Kodesh Lashem, the tenth one is going to be Kodesh Lashem. And the Mishnah Bechoros describes exactly how we sanctify the tenth animal as Kodesh. We open the deer, we open the paddock, and every tenth animal we push off to the side, and we keep doing that. So why do we use that extensive system? Isn't it easier just to count off all the sheep and then move away 10 of them and give the 1/10 as a miser? So the late Telzer Rosh Hashiva, Blazer Gordon, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that when a person sees how much he has and how little he gives to Hashem, I give but a tenth, it becomes much easier to give that tenth and not to worry so much in our lives that maybe we're giving too much away. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read from Yirmiyahu, Hashem, Uzi u'manusi b'yom tzorah, Hashem is my strength and my stronghold. And so what's the connection here between the Parsha and the Haftorah? So the late great Rav David Feinstein Zatzal explained that Yirmiyahu highlights our nation's security and strength comes not from mazel or natural means, but rather it only comes from Hashem. And that's similar to the Parsha where we learn that our nation's success and failures are directly connected to our allegiance with Hashem. Either we come to recognize it, or, unfortunately, we'll see it when it comes to Yom Tzara. We've had enough days of Tzara, and it's our job as Man Hazeh to rise up above the Tzara, to go ahead, make it very quick and very painless, and may we all get the honor and the privilege of enjoying not only a Shabbat Shalom, but a Yom Shekulo Shabbos Menucha L'Chayei HaOlamim. Shabbat Shalom to all.